Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, December the 14th, 2023. Hope you're having a good day today. Yeah, and I was just saying that because Christmas Eve is the fourth Sunday of Advent, there's no really fourth week readings this year. And so we really only have like today, counting today, five total, one today and four next week readings remaining together before Advent, before Christmas, I should say. So we're counting down, man. And usually if you're going according to the lectionary, which is kind of what we're doing, lectionary readings, Christmas Eve has a special reading, and of course Christmas Day has a special reading, so they're a little different than just the typical daily readings that go along. Well, today I'm excited to jump into the readings today, which Isaiah chapter 7. I know maybe over the last few weeks, as we've been walking through these readings, you're like, when are they going to get more Christmassy? But that's the journey. That's the journey. The journey is to look at the prophecies and to also look at Jesus' second coming, which will continue to be a theme. But as you'll notice, that they'll get more Christmassy. They'll get a tad more Christmassy, I think. Incrementally so. So Isaiah chapter 7 is a familiar Christmas passage. And so today we'll be reading out of Isaiah 7, 2 Thessalonians 2, and Luke 22. Thanks for the shout outs about the shirt. Yeah, I was wearing this elf shirt around the house, and Chrissy was like, "Are you going to wear that for your devotion?" I was like, I wasn't, but I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go. Sure. Since we only have five days left of our readings together. Yeah. Then she said, "Are you going to also wear it to the gym to work out?" And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think elf works out. So no. All right, on to matters at hand. Good morning, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Those of you on the podcast, thanks for listening. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Let's do it. Isaiah 7, 1 through 9. Elf power. Okay. Maybe I may go into the gym with if I had this shirt on, I'd be going. I mean, I'd be put more weight on. I got this. All right. Chapter 7, verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, remember in chapter 6 yesterday, in the year that King Uzziah died. So this is Uzziah's grandson. When Ahaz was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. So this is a divided kingdom, right? Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Now the house of David was told Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. So Judah in the south is afraid of this alliance that is going to invade from the north. Then the Lord, so again, kind of paints the political scene there, that there's a military threat of invasion from the north in Judah. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out, you and your son Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to Launderer's Field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm." Be cool, basically, right? Stay cool. Don't go crazy. Things are getting hairy. Stay calm. Be careful. Keep calm and do not be afraid. Maybe that's a word for someone today. Maybe you've got some things that are creating some anxiety in your life. Things that are causing you maybe to get a little frazzled. Hear the word of the Lord. Be careful. Keep calm. And do not be afraid. So be careful. Don't exacerbate the situation. Don't make it worse. Be careful, but stay calm. And don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. So these two leaders that are threatening to attack Judah. Isaiah is telling Ahaz, "Hey, don't worry about them smoldering stumps. Because of the do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, 'Let's invade Judah, let's tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it.'" So Isaiah is saying, "I'm gonna keep it real with you. This is what's going on. They're conspiring together to overthrow you, and they have a plot to install a new king to build. But I go back to my first comments. Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid, and don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, people. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. So here's the situation. Here's what I can tell you. My advice, don't be calm, be careful. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. So if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Ooh. Stand in your faith. Lean into the Lord. Trust God. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Man, that's the truth, isn't it? In so many ways. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand firm at all. You won't stand at all. You'll fall. You'll crumble. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask, we don't know how much time there in between, but ask the Lord. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David." So he's probably like, I don't want to put the Lord to the test. Or is he just saying, like, I don't really know how to do that? Right? That's a That's a politically correct way of saying, I don't really know how to do that. I don't know what kind of, like, what, how do I do that? How do I put a fleece out there, as it were? That's a word we like to use, you know. How do I, hearkening back to the story of Gideon, but how, you know, a sign, like, God, give me a sign. This will be a sign. Help me. This will be a sign to me if this happens. But Ahaz is like, nah, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? So Isaiah's seeing through it as a diversion. He's not really putting his trust in God. Therefore, here you go. Here's the sign. Here's the prophecy, prophetic word that is read a lot at Christmas. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which he will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. Far before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your fathers a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. So the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And so this thing has two meanings, right? Like, this is like a prophecy of Jesus, Messiah in the future. And obviously by the time Messiah, Jesus came, those two threats were long gone, right? Like in the grand throw of history, they became irrelevant. So, you know, don't stress about things that down the road won't even matter. But it was also a sign for Ahaz in that time, like, right? He's like, a young woman will conceive and give birth to a son, and it'll be a sign. So in a few generations, these two smoldering stumps will be irrelevant because Assyria's coming. Assyria's a much bigger problem. And Assyria is going to invade the northern kingdom, and they're going to have their hands full with Assyria. So they're not going to have time to attack anybody because Assyria is coming from the outside and is going to level the north first. The northern kingdom fell in 722. And so Isaiah is prophesying that destruction of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians. But that's a beautiful messianic prophetic verse there. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Only Jesus could fulfill that. No human born son is truly Emmanuel. Every child, in a sense, is a gift from God, but not every child is God with us. Only one was. All right, moving on to the second reading. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for being on today. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I read further in Isaiah, but we won't be together tomorrow, so we need to read the big one, Isaiah 7:11. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us. So, same words Isaiah told the king. Be careful. Stay calm. Don't be afraid. So, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. So apparently there were some in the Thessalonica community, saying that Jesus had already returned. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Clearly, Paul is talking, prophesying towards some sort of Antichrist figure that could have been the Antiochus Epiphanes, who set himself up in the temple, which was when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and desecrated the temple. And so he's saying, you know, there's still, or he could be pointing to some times in the future, other Antichrist figures, or a, you know, that the final rebellion against God, who knows? But it does seem like he's saying these things will happen. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know that what now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. So sounds like Paul's talking about something in his context. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and will destroy by the splendor of his coming. Okay, so this is obviously at his coming, at the second coming. And in a sense, it's indicative of Satan himself. He will destroy him. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He raises people up to destroy and to deceive. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. Man, that's the truth. Wickedness has a way of deceiving. Isn't that ironic? Wickedness deceiving those who are perishing. It's like they're on a conveyor belt towards towards destruction, and all the while they're being deceived about what's happening. Just can't see it. But continually are moving more and more towards destruction. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. The more you delight in wickedness, the more easily you're deluded by evil. The more you're deceived. We see a lot of that in our world today, man. Ooh, my goodness. People are just delight in wickedness, and they're so far from the truth. So far from the truth that the truth feels like a foreign land. It's that calling evil good and good evil, right? I mean, it's all over the place. All right, the gospel reading, Luke 22. 1 through 13. This goes way to the end of Jesus' ministry. Towards moving towards the last week of Jesus' life. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. I think the theme in all of this is conspiring. Evil conspiring against good. Evil conspiring against Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, it's this evil plot against Ahaz. In Thessalonians, it's this the reminder of this, the man of lawlessness, the wickedness, the plot of evil against God's people. And here it's the very plot of Judas against Jesus, the betrayal of Jesus. And so the themes of trusting in God and standing firm in the truth and not being carried away or scared or deluded or not deluded. That's not the word. Deceived. It's early, people. Sometimes it's early. Words just come out that don't make no sense. All right. So it's the Festival of Unleavened Bread, and they're looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Here's Satan. You see Satan's activity in all of this in Isaiah's day, in the early church, and even against Jesus himself to try to destroy him. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Then came the day of the unleavened bread in which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. How far are we reading here? Luke 13. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with the disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus told them, so they prepared the Passover. So Jesus tells them that, you know, there's this sign idea again, too. That's another theme. Is this will be a sign that this is the person you're supposed to connect with. You'll go over there and you'll find, you'll enter the city and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. It's going to be your sign. And he will take you where you need to go. In Isaiah, this will be a sign to you. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and you will call him Emmanuel. It's God's provision. Here, this man provides a place for Jesus to gather with his disciples for one final time. And in Isaiah prophesies that God will bring forth a son, a child, and he will be God's provision, Jesus himself. Interesting. It's a lot to contemplate there, right? God sends a son, and here we see the son is being prepared for his final meal. And in a sense, he is the sacrificial lamb that is being prepared. Yeah, a lot to ponder. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being on today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reality that our faith in you is stronger than anything that we face in this world and can sustain us and uphold us no matter what. So God, we trust you. We reaffirm our belief in you. Lord, for my friends who may be facing chaotic times or maybe some stressors in their lives, Lord, we heed the word of Isaiah to be careful, but to be calm and to not be afraid. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your holy word. May it minister to our hearts. May we not only be hearers of the word, but also doers. So help us to go out and live a life and to reach others with the good news today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys for jumping on today. A lot to think about. A lot to think about with those are thought-provoking readings. And when they organized these years ago, they organized them thematically. So there are definitely intended themes that they want us to, that they're encouraging us to consider and to think about, parallels to draw. So very interesting. All right, you guys have a great day. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for being a part this week. We won't be on tomorrow, but we'll be back at it Monday for the third week of Advent. Hope you're going to be in worship this weekend with your church family, celebrating. And you only have one more Sunday before Christmas Eve. And so hope you'll be there for that. And thank you for liking, subscribing, hitting the like button on YouTube before you leave. Those on you, on the podcast, thank you for sharing it and getting the word out about it. Appreciate it. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. A little Stevie Wonder going on right there.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.